Ron Sims has lived in Washington State his whole life, and he loves its unique environment, Puget Sound, the snow-capped mountains, and the salmon runs. But he's worried about its future. He's now the head of King County, Washington. It's home to about 2 million residents, including the city of Seattle. As county executive, he sees the scientific reports about his region. They say the snow caps are melting, marine life is changing, and the cedar trees are being replaced by other species. That's what's happening right now. But what really convinced Sims he had to do something is when he called scientists at the nearby University of Washington's School of Climate Impacts.
And I asked them a simple question. I wanted to know what the climate in our area would be in 2050.
The scientists' report said King County could expect frequent torrential rains that would cause serious flooding, even swamping the buildings of some major employers. In terms of wildlife, the rains would wipe out the salmon spawning grounds. Yet at other times of the year, they say there'll be a drought as the snow caps decline. Sims knew it was time to take action.
Should we wait for our children to make this decision in 2045 or 2030? And since we now know that we have to make these decisions based upon what the scientists are telling us, why aren't we doing it now? Because if generations in the future are going to have to make far more complex decisions, and this shouldn't be one of them they have to work from.
Sims is not the only city or county leader who's taking climate change seriously. The mayor of London, England, started charging people a fee for driving into his city during rush hour. In New York, Mayor Michael Bloomberg made the same proposal to reduce emissions. He also wants to see a new rule that requires all New York City taxis to be hybrids within the next 5 years. And groups like the U.S. Conference of Mayors are holding climate change summits to help local officials plan for the effects of global warming. Jennifer Penny is with the Alliance for Resilient Cities, which recently brought local leaders to Toronto. She says a lot of officials are realizing that they'll be on the front lines when serious weather events occur.
Most of those things are in the jurisdiction of local governments. So protecting people from heat waves, dealing with local floods, dealing with windstorms or tornadoes that come through. Those are the kinds of things that local governments are on the ground, they have to deal with.
And that's why city and county officials across the country are starting to make plans. Back in Washington State, Ron Sims decided on two strategies to deal with this. One, reduce his county's carbon emissions by 80% by 2050, mostly by getting cars off the road. That's led the county to start buying up development rights on rural land to prevent sprawl and the number of suburban commuters. They've also bought a fleet of hybrid buses. And the second strategy? Start finding ways to adapt to the realities of climate change. King County has taken many steps. They range from a plan to strengthen their levees to prevent flooding, and the county is buying up forest land to act as a sponge for the runoff water. Sim says King County's climate change plan has touched every department in the government.
We decided to go backwards in time in all functions of this government, how we plan for growth, what do we preserve, what will we face, what do we see the consequences of 2050 being, and are we prepared for that?
A lot of people wonder if the public is ready for that, to sacrifice for it. Ron Sims tells his colleagues in local government that the public is ready. They saw the pictures of Hurricane Katrina. Many saw Al Gore's documentary on climate change. And now they're looking for elected officials, if not at the national level, then at the local level, to take the lead. For the Environment Report, I'm Karen Kelly.